Like to thank the choir and also the offertory music. Very nice today. Enjoyed that quite a bit. And you took up, well, I've got, what, 12 minutes left, so. That's one nice thing about being last. You can be short and quick, and everybody will appreciate it when you sit down. Hope everyone had an enjoyable night to be much remembered last night. I know the group at our house did. We had a lot of laughter and fun, and always makes for a good time to kick off the holy days to get together with friends and family for a nice meal. Well, this week we are keeping what is known as the Days of Unleavened Bread. And we've been instructed to put out the leavening and any food item that would contain leavening product in it. So we've cleaned our houses, our toasters. I had a little problem with my toaster the other day. I have a little drawer at the bottom and it pulls out, but there were some pretty good sized chunks of bread in there that had dried and were very hard for me to get out. It took a lot of shaking and tipping, and finally able to get a knife in there and pop a couple pieces out that would not come out by themselves. And so we've cleaned our areas. Maybe at work we've made sure that the area that we are in control of has been cleaned too. I know I had a few protein bars in my drawer and I wasn't going in on Monday, and I had to call Tracy and say, "Tracy, I just remembered I got protein bars in there, got leavening in them. Could you throw those out for me?" So, you know, we have to be conscious of our areas and make sure that we get those out. And God, back in Exodus, the 12th chapter, and we'll start back there and look at that, where he instructed them. This is before they left Egypt, and he's given the instruction to Moses, as Moses is going to go to Pharaoh and ask that his people would be able to go out into the wilderness and observe the Days of Unleavened Bread. And verse 18 of Exodus, the 12th chapter. "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened breads." So God gave Israel the instruction, starting out before they ever left Egypt. We also know that the New Testament church and Jesus Christ kept these days. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And see Paul making comment to the Corinthians. They had a problem there in the church that they needed to correct. And he was addressing that, and it was during these days of unleavened bread. 1 Corinthians 5, and let's begin with verse 6. "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?" It only takes a small part of yeast. If you've ever made bread or cookies or anything like that, it's only a small, small amount that you put in there, but yet that ingredient expands and puffs up or enlarges what would be just flour and water and some other ingredients. So we continue on. Verse 7, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Brethren, we are in the days of unleavened bread. In these next 7 days, you and I are going to eat unleavened breads. And Paul refers to this bread as that of sincerity and truth. And that's the title of my sermon today, is the bread of sincerity and truth. Because not only are we supposed to put out that leaven that we have done in a physical sense at this point in time, but we're also supposed to eat that leavened bread, but it represents putting on Christ, reminding us that Jesus Christ is in us, His Spirit. And this week, as we go forward, I'd like you to remember that every time you pick up that piece of unleavened bread and put butter or jam or peanut butter or whatever you'd like, or eat it dry, that represents us putting on Jesus Christ, His sincerity and the truth, the Word of God. Paul talks about replacing the old leaven and what it represents with the bread of sincerity and truth. The unleavened bread that we are eating this week represents God's way of life, not the way of this world. We took the Passover this last Sunday evening, and we are once again clean. We examined ourselves, we asked for forgiveness, we went in, we recommitted our lives to Jesus Christ, we took of that bread and the wine that covered our sins, and we recommitted on walking the way God is leading us. We were reminded that we have the Spirit of God, which comes through Christ in us at baptism. So we are now clean. And this week we're going forward. That leavening, that old self, we've looked at it, we've examined it, we've put it out, and we're clean. And now we're going forward. And we're replacing it with that unleavened bread, or God's truth, His sincerity in our life, having us lead a godly life also. So we are replacing the leavened bread, and that's one of the reasons we eat unleavened bread during this period of time. Now, the food of this world is not God's way. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Because God warns us about the ways of this world and its understandings, that they're not His way. Matthew 16, and let's begin with verse 5. Now, when His disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. They had crossed over the sea and come to the other side. Then Jesus said to them, verse 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? I mean, they were looking at the physical item of the bread, that they had none. But Jesus, going on in verse 9, do not yet understand, do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Don't you remember the miracle that I performed, and I was able to multiply the bread and the fishes that we had? On in 10, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many large baskets we took up. Verse 11, how is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, the physical needs of this life, but to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? In other words, the doctrines that they were preaching. And if we went to a parallel scripture in one of the Gospels in Mark, the 8th chapter, which we won't turn to, but he also mentions the doctrine of Herod, or in other words, the ruler of the land at that particular time, their doctrines, their laws. He's telling us, or his disciples, not to be looking at the leaven as in the bread, but to look at the leavening that is around us every day, that the people of this world are in. This world is in darkness. And we must make sure that we're continually looking toward God and replacing that leaven that we were admonished by Mr. Moody to leave behind and walk away. We need to replace it with that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth that only comes from God and Jesus Christ. Let's go to John now, the 6th chapter. John 6, and let's begin in verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." In other words, bread, physical bread, only fills the body. And we're not to be looking toward only the physical. We're supposed to look also to the spiritual, that food that leads to everlasting life. Continuing on, "which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform?" They wanted a sign. They wanted something physical again so they could believe on him. "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe in you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So what are you going to give us? What physical element are you going to give us so that we can eat and feed? And Jesus said to them in verse 32, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." The spiritual food, that is what we're to look toward. That's what that unleavened bread represents during these days, is that we're filling ourselves with God's word, God's understanding. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." We see that it's God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, and their way is the spiritual food that we're supposed to be seeking. Verse 34, "Then they say to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Do we want to have everlasting life? Yes, we do. Mankind looks for immortality. We're always looking for ways not to age, to look younger, to make this body last for hundreds of years. You know, Ponce de Leon, looking for the fountain of youth. We're always, mankind is always looking for ways to stay young, to stay healthy, to live forever. And yet, the only way you can accomplish that is through Jesus Christ and his way of life. The unleavened bread represents replacing the ways of this world with God's way of life. We have Christ in us. We are reminded to feed our spiritual life, which leads to eternal life, and eventually as a son of God. Yes, the bread represents the broken body of Christ that we took at Passover, but it also reminds us at the same time that Christ is in us. We ate that bread. recommitted to Him, and through that Spirit which gives us eternal life. So we committed and we ate the Passover, realizing that. Let's go to Galatians now, the second chapter. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we've been crucified with Jesus Christ when he was on the cross, when we committed our lives to him. And so he lives in us. And that Spirit that is in us, we need to feed. We need to feed it with the bread of sincerity and truth, God's word, God's way of life. And that's what we're picturing this week, is we're replacing that old leaven. Yes, we put it out. Now we need to replace it. We need to seek God and his ways and remind ourselves that that's what we've committed to. Let's go back now to Matthew, the fourth chapter. Jesus Christ, right before the fourth chapter, the end of the third chapter, had just finished fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He'd been baptized, and then he went in and he fasted, and then he was tempted. Chapter 4 of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, I know we've all felt hunger. There are times that maybe you've missed a meal, you've worked out, you've done some hard labor, and all of a sudden the empty stomach comes and you can't get to the someplace fast enough to eat. And of course you sit down, and what would normally take, you know, maybe 10 minutes to eat, you inhale in about a minute, just because you're so empty and you're trying to get food into that stomach to take away that empty feeling. Well, he had been going for 40 days and 40 nights. So we know what it's like to be hungry at times. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And yet, he was going to be tempted by the devil. Verse 3, now the tempter came to him, and he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So what does he do? He says, your physical life is close to death. You're hungry. You have the ability to change this stone into bread and to eat. And Jesus Christ answered and said in verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus Christ had just spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness, getting close to God, humbling himself, because he understood that his ministry was going to start, and he was close to God, and he was not worried about the cares of this world. You know, we go to work every day, or we go and we do things, we have lists to accomplish as we start out the week, but they're physical things. And this world looks toward the physical and not the spiritual. It's what are we going to earn this week? What are we going to gain? How are we going to protect something that we have? This world looks at that. And that's what Satan brought to him and said, here's something physical that you need. And he said, I might need it, but what's more important is the spiritual food that comes from God the Father. In other words, he wasn't worried about the physical. He knew he had to finish his ministry. He could look forward to that. He knew he was not going to starve to death. But his mind was so focused at that period in time, all he could see was the Word of God and the things that would lead to eternal life and not just fulfill or sustain this physical life. And that's something that we too need to take on in ourselves, the example of Jesus Christ, that it's not always the physical, the things that give us pleasure, the things that feed us, but we need to look forward to that spiritual food that comes from heaven. That's what this day or this week represents as we're eating that unleavened bread. That's quoted from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I'd like to go back and just take a look at that beginning in verse 1. Because it's interesting as when Christ quoted this, to take a look at the whole passage here. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and let's begin with verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. So God here is giving them, had given them his commandments, and he's admonishing and encouraging them to keep those laws and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with the manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He quoted Exodus, which he inspired when he gave to Moses. And he told them not to be looking at that physical manna and why he had to leave them 40 years, but to look at the spiritual and to follow his laws, to follow his ways, and he would bless them. Jesus Christ understood it wasn't the physical things that the body needs that we need to be striving after, but the spiritual. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter. Second Timothy 1 and verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose. So we were not called because of who we are or what great feet or understanding or knowledge or person that we are. He called us for his purpose, which was given to us in Christ before time began. You know something? That is not what I said. Did I say 2 Timothy? 1 verse 9. Okay. And verse 10. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we see that Jesus Christ came and he's abolished the death penalty. We understand that. But he's bringing us life and immortality through the gospel, through his word. As we take of that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, it's the Word of God. It's his instructions, his way of life. Each time we take that unleavened bread this week, let's not forget that. That's what we're representing. His way of life, not the leavening of this world and its ways. So we have the eternal gospel, knowledge of how to live our lives. Christ paid our penalty for sin, and we have access to Him through that Holy Spirit. Let's go to Colossians now, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is what the Apostle Paul was praying, and the ministers were praying, that the congregation would be increased with knowledge of God so that we'd have better understanding of His way and the way that we need to continue on. Through the knowledge of God is how we replace the old leaven with the unleavened bread, which represents God's way of life. So we need to be seeking Him out. We have to choose to go that way. We have to choose it. We have to want it. And we have to strive for it. Let's go to 1 John, the second chapter. And verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have taken on Christ. Our love should be to look toward that kingdom and not back. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is it not of the Father, but it is of the world. So it's not this world, it's the world's way are not the way of the Father. Verse 18, little children, verse 17, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We see to have eternal life, we need to seek God and follow His ways. That's what we're replacing. Every time we take that unleavened bread, it reminds us that we put that leaven out and we're eating the unleavened bread to replace the leavening. To remind us this week as we eat that bread that we are replacing this way of life with something better. It's God's way of life. So to wrap this up, I'd like to quote again from 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God's word, God's way of life. As we take this week of that bread, that unleavened bread, let's remember that we are taking on Christ, that that's who we're seeking. And we're replacing the world and its ways, which will eventually go away, with God's way.